Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. We are reading this evening from the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text number 45. Nadyatamanastu Yogi Sanshuta Kilvishaha Aneka Janma Sansida Sato Jati Param Gatim Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswati Deva Eve Gauravani Pracharine Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paskatyadi Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Rasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. In this particular verse of the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna informs us that to become Krishna conscious sometimes takes several lifetimes. Now, I suppose that everyone who hears that it's possible to be born again and then die again take the process of Krishna consciousness, he or she wants to know, how can I make it in one life? It's only natural. If you know that there is a long way to a destination and a short way, you naturally will choose the short way, because why walk so long or drive so long or like that? So, in these seminars, we want to present to all of you the instructions of the most merciful incarnation of this age, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who actually gives a precise and short way to attain God consciousness or Krishna consciousness. Now, we all know in this circle of audience that this Krishna consciousness or God consciousness can be attained, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. We have said so often and we have heard so often. So in these and the following seminars, I desire to speak a little bit more about the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, what it actually means to chant properly Hare Krishna, what is creating an obstacle means a blockage, so that we cannot really make advancement even though we are chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and assorted subjects. So we have started this morning with the first shloka, Chatudara Panamajanam. This first shloka was compared to be like a flame, like a fire, which has seven flames. In other words, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is a great flame, it has seven effects on the chanting, on him who chants. This morning we heard how the chanter experiences how his consciousness, which is like a mirror, becomes cleansed. We heard how the fire of repeated birth and death, samsara, is stopped by the chanting. We heard how the chanting can be compared to the rising of the moon, who with its potent rays can open the lotus flower of good fortune. Thank you. And today, in this lecture, let us continue. The fourth flame in this fire is called Vidya Vadhu Jivanam. The chanting of the holy name is the life, the jivat, of all transcendental knowledge. This means that someone who chants will be enlightened from within the heart. How is this so? Well, the Lord has basically two energies. One is called Mahamaya, or the illusory potency, which puts the living entities under the spell of ignorance, or avidya. Sometimes we say avidya shakti. And the second energy is called yogamaya, or also sometimes called svarup shakti, and puts the living entity under transcendental knowledge. When you are in Mahamaya, you are covered with ignorance, and you think you are the body, you are Zapsky or Gamansky, Nemetsky, I think it's called German or Swedish or whatever. And when you are actually free from that cloud of illusion, when you are under the influence of Krishna's internal, his Svarup Shakti, you understand your eternal form in relationship to Krishna, which may be that of a cowherd boy or a gopi or another transcendental identity. So the chanting of the holy name is called the life of all transcendental knowledge, because it takes away the influence of Mahamaya, of ignorance, so that as a resultant action, your original spiritual form becomes manifested. And the chanting, the shackles means like chains of false ego and prestige are broken as a byproduct of transcendental knowledge. Sometimes people who hear the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra react in an almost pained way. They can't hear it. Then they begin to speak in profane language, obscenities against the devotees, because they experience it has an influence on the false ego. That false ego becomes cut. I think every one of us has made this experience a little bit. When you start chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you perceive yourself and your position in this world in a different way. Sometimes our young devotees also become a little bit disoriented. They don't behave like they used to do before. They have two pairs of socks, you know, two different kinds of socks on their feet. The women don't put schminke any longer. And the I remember when I was in my material, when I was not yet a devotee, but I had heard of the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and I sometimes heard this chanting. I sometimes chanted in my mind. I was always singing in my life, and when I heard the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, I was singing interesting versions of the Hare Krishna song. All the melodies which I liked, I just put the Hare Krishna mantra there. And the result of that chanting was that I didn't feel any longer comfortable to act in the ways I was used to. I didn't like the friends any longer. I didn't even like to read the newspapers. When I played music, didn't just come out the way it used to come. And I felt, what's happening with me? A very nice thing happened. The shackles of false ego, they're cut. Now, no one should have strach or fear when he hears this. Oh, what will happen to me? Because when one is undergoing this transformation, the most positive thing happens, what you can imagine. That is, the transcendental identity becomes more known to you. You are delivered from that game of playing false roles on the stage of illusion. It's very nice, it's very good. So therefore, Vidya Varu Jivanam, the chanting, the mother of all knowledge. We don't know this in this world. Knowledge means we have to study something specific, like for instance architecture, and then we might know how to construct a house so that it won't fall together. Right? We don't have any experience of doing something and you know, like swimming in the lake, and then all of a sudden you know architecture, or like playing football, and just by this process of playing football you become an accomplished musician. We don't know this. This never happens in this world. Here, however, I would like to draw your attention to this point. By chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you actually develop knowledge. You don't have to study. Then it just comes. Why? Because you are coming under the influence of the spiritual energy which just moves you about. There is a nice example in the life of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, who used to chant at a place where he wanted to only chant, and therefore he went to places where people didn't feel comfortable to go to, like to places where people used to pass stool and urine, just so that no one would disturb him in coming to this place. And he just chanted and chanted. And you will be glad to hear that the greatest learned man of his times came to hear his realization. See, just by chanting, not by he developed this knowledge. Does this mean we should chant and throw the books away? No, we were talking about this subject in Kragujevac yesterday. No, it helps also to, it's important, not it helps, it's important on our stage, where we can't chant on the highest platform immediately, to know the knowledge of the scripture so that we know how to behave and that the chanting has a full effect. Okay. So, if you do have some questions regarding certain of these points which you hear being presented to you, keep them in the mind, write them in the notebook of the OM, and ask them later. We will have in the end a question and answer session like we always do. So let us progress. The fifth effect of the chanting is Anandam Buddhi Vadanam. That is, one feels an ever increasing ocean of bliss. Joyful person. So, how does this work? By chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you actually have contact with Sri Krishna. Now, Sri Krishna's personality has been described as Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. He is the ever-increasing ocean of bliss. Krishna's beauty constantly increases. His qualities and his pastimes are never limited, but they constantly are becoming more and more and more. Krishna's happiness does not know any limits, like our happiness knows. You just take the example of eating. What do you like to eat best, Madan Gopal? Pizza. What prasadam? Pizza, maybe. Pizza. So if you give Madan Gopal, the pizza fan, three pizzas, he will be very enthusiastic. Then we come with a fourth pizza, he still will be enthusiastic. Then we come with a fifth pizza, then he is still enthusiastic because he was on a preaching tour and didn't get so much variety of prasadam. So we come with a, then there will be a time, maybe when we come with a tenth pizza. There's a devotee in Germany who can eat 20 pieces. His name is Rudra. So when we come with the 10th pizza, you say, Kuala Lipa, Kuala Lipa. You don't want any longer. Because your capability to enjoy is limited to your stomacho, which only can go like this far, and then it becomes dangerous. So Krishna is not limited. See, this is a very interesting point. I just made this point to I talked about prasadam to get all your attention, but I want to also say it in a more dressed, in a more way. For instance, this is experienced in human relationships. A man wants to marry a woman, and a woman wants to marry a man, and it begins to occupy both of their thoughts, and they think, well, if I have the right woman or the right man, oh, we can do so much together. We will be, it will be double the energy. Now I'm only one, then we will be two of us. Oh, and but we can, then we can speak together. I'm no longer always alone, but I can really talk what is in my sritta. And he has to hear it all, or she has to hear it all, because we are married. And one projects into this relationship like an unlimited amount of pleasure, entertainment, understanding, luba, right? Yes. And so on and so forth. But the naked truth is that this relationship is also very limited. There are granites. And they are very close, the granitas, you know, they're very, that's why when you study your parents' lives, it's not a good example of a nice jivat, isn't it? their expectations, they're a little bit frustrated, or much frustrated. So I'm just making the point to say, Krishna is not limited like this. Why? Because Krishna's granitas, if you so want. Krishna doesn't have granitas, but Krishna is totally, is constantly increasing. And therefore, a person who has contact with Krishna will experience also an unlimited life. Do you get the point? By contacting Krishna through the chanting of the holy name, you do not need limited material pleasures any longer. Do you understand? Because Krishna is unlimited. A very simple point, but it is such a deep point. It goes very deep. The center of the earth and beyond it. If you connect with the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead, you will be, this is called Anandam Buddhivaranam, your pleasure will also increase. How do you like this? This is a nice concept, right? It works. For instance, Srila Rupa Goswami, knowing about this principle, has made one shloka, which I would like to read to you, if I have it here. No, we don't have it, unfortunately. It means, it is, I can tell, when I chant the holy name, I want millions of ears and millions of tongues. Why? Because it is such a bliss, such a taste that I can't get enough. What does this mean? Is he suffering from not enough? No. He says, the holy name is entering in my heart. He makes this point. And it floods the heart that I lose all my other desires. Yeah, because it's so much anandam. Jiva Goswami says, the holy name of God is the very form of transcendental bliss. And when it rises, that ocean, when the holy name rises, the ocean becomes restless. If you know, when the moon rises, the ocean becomes restless and goes into what is called the tide. What is the tide in English? Plima, yes, the plima comes. Do you know what a plima is? Tide, yes. It becomes, the water becomes very, it just floods the coast. I was growing up at the coast and when the plima was going on, it was, all the water came very close to the houses. So when the holy name comes up, then you hear that then it increases the nectar. Yes. So there are a few other flames. Punamritashvaranam, it gives taste of full nectar. And the seventh is Savatma Snapanam. I will go a little brittle to cover other subjects. It is a complete bath for the soul. See, we only know of a bath for the body, and it refreshes one greatly. If one was very, there is a lot of sweat and dirt on the body, and an aggressive smell develops, then if you take a shower, you feel very happy and relieved. So, if you chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, after some time, you will feel actually how you will become very relieved, because it's a bath for the soul. And this relief can be experienced by becoming free of your karma, which has before that time given you great problems. So, the chanting of the holy name, in other words, is that one awakens, to put it very simple, awakens love for Krishna and tastes transcendental bliss. The ultimate result is that you get the association of Krishna. You come to Krishna's own transcendental world and you associate with him very, very closely. And this is what is the result. So now I will go to the second verse, and I'm really happy that I can cover it today. It will be a very deep understanding, and I think you will go home taking some jewels with you. The second verse of the Shikshastakam, the second instruction I want to chant with all of you together. Please repeat after me. Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktis Tratal Pita Niyamita Smarane Na Kala Etadrishi Tava Kripa Bhagavan Mamapi Dudaivam Idrisham Yajani Nanuraga. Can we put Bhagdaya on loud again? Please read the translation. Oh, you best amongst the intelligent boys. Why don't you have the translation?
The version you have is not the translation that we have here, actually.
Doesn't matter.
So I can read the translation?
Yes. Moj dragi gospodin.
O gospodine moj, samo tvoje ime može podariti svav blagoslov živim bićima. I zato imaš stotine i milijone imena, kao što su Krišna i Govinda. U ova transcendentalna imena uložiš i sve svoje transcendentalne energije. Nema čak ni strogih pravila za njihovo pevanje. O gospodine moj, toliko si ljubazan da nam omogućiš da ti se približimo uz pomoć tvojih svetih imena, ali ja sam toliko nesrećan da za njih ne osjećam nijeku privlačnost.
Okay, here it says, Nija Sarva Shaktis. Krishna has put in his name all kinds of personal energy. Who knows what are these personal energies of Krishna? Please remember, the word is a personal energy. What could it be? Muscle energy, that's very personal. What could be the personal energy of God? pleasure. Pleasure means plaja, right? Plajenta. Pleasure. Hladi, that is hladini, the pleasure energy. Sachidanand. Well, there are three energies which have been named here. One is called Jnana Shakti. We had that already. You might remember we said Vidya Vadu Jivanam, the chanting of the holy name, the mother of all knowledge. So this Jnana Shakti is a cognitive energy, that which makes you know something. Then Kriya Shakti, that's the energy of doing something, active energy. And then is the Icha Shakti. Krishna's Icha Shakti is very, very special. Icha means desire energy. See, when Krishna desires something, it immediately becomes manifest. And when we desire something, there are three possibilities. The first is we don't get it. The second is we get it, but we lose it. The third possibility is we get what we wanted and we don't lose it. But after some time, it doesn't fulfill our expectations any longer. Isn't it true, or is this just some Klupas philosophy? Put this energy out of his milos. Devotees often have found out if they are spiritually strong, their life somehow arranges in such a way that they get what they want, even in a way which by far surpasses their boldest expectations. Usually when you like want to meet someone or you want to make a holiday, you have big expectations, and you come, and then you are so special. It's not just right. Do you know this situation? You all in the picture. If you have expectations into something, then it's always not the way your expectations were. But in Krishna consciousness, it's different. So, well, there are some very interesting points, but I really want to go on. I just feel the audience go in some. Are you interested in these kind of information? Yes. Really? Or should I talk about easy things? Well, no good points here. Sometimes people want to know if all the names of God have the same power. Like, can I chant Allah, 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 Akbar, and this will be like Hare Krishna? Or can I say, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Yehovah? And so on. Is this the same result? Is this really? This is sometimes a question. And here comes the answer. There are two types of names of Krishna. One is principal names, which describe his personality and his personal activities, like Hari, or Krishna, or Govinda, or Achyuta, or Rama, or Radha Raman, or Kunya Bihari, or we could go the whole night. No problem. And then there are other names of Krishna which do not to Krishna at home, to Krishna in the spiritual world, but refer to him in relation to the material world, like omniscient, or param atma, which means the super soul. Super soul is not there in the spiritual world, it's only in the material world. Or the creator, or maintainer, or the supreme controller. Like Ishvara can sometimes not be a prince in the name, but if you say Ishvara Chandra, that means Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. That is a very nice name of Krishna. It's a primary name. So there are these two classes, kinds of names. And only those which refer to Krishna at home, that means in the spiritual world, in his divine leela with his different devotees, they can evoke a lyuba, transcendental love for Krishna. This is just as a point by the side. So now I want to really come to a point where I feel everyone just is addressed. Lord Chaitanya says, although your holy name is so potent, still I'm so unfortunate that I do not have any attraction to the holy name. What is attraction, please? Ooh. Privlachnost. Very easy. Thank you. See, I want to learn many different words, so one day I will be able to speak like Tito. it will come, but it needs some time. That's a very difficult name. Privlachnost. So, why does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say he has no attraction to the holy name? First of all, do you also sometimes feel like this when you chant your rounds? Oh, Ekadasi, I wish Ekadasi would not exist at all on this planet. Because I have to chant 25 rounds. Do you sometimes feel this? And I really would like to eat prasadam now, but chant. So, the question is, why do we feel like this? Krishna has appeared in this world in the form of the holy name. We have heard the description, how much blessings come when we chant the holy name. Why do we not feel attracted? Why do we stand like dead people in the kirtan? Why doesn't the whole world, you know, just join us? Why is there this attraction? So, this is a question which I wanted to ask all of you. What is your answer? Don't be shy. We are amongst the family, so it is all right to say. No, the Maharaji behind you, this Vindhyavali. But chanting is so attractive, this wouldn't mean something bad. Dira Prashanta. Dear Prashanta Prabhu says, because of the 10 offenses. That's it. Atze has a control and enjoyer in him, in his chest. Mm-hmm. should be attracted. I mean, so nice. You are maybe a controller and enjoyer, but you are attracted to prasadam, no problem, isn't it?
Yes.
So why not to the holy name if it's so slatky? Vishada says, because we are envious towards Krishna. Then you can't stand the other. That's a nice thing. If you, for instance, if you don't like, what is a good Yugoslavian name? Slobodan. Yes, Slobodan. And you just hate, as soon as you hear the name Slobodan, you go like, I can't stand it. A good expression, yeah, that happens. But if it's so good, then why don't you want to hear it? That's our problem. Material Jelnya, yes. Oh, no. But the Hare Krishna mantra could be just an objective. I remember when this hair musical came on. Hair musical. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. All the hippies were going to this musical. And it was an object. Let's go to the musical. And there we see Masha Hunt singing Hare Krishna. That's interesting. The answer has been given by our highly philosophically minded Dira Prashanta Prabhu. It is offenses against the holy name. Clouding our taste. When you do have, for instance, a certain disease, you cannot taste properly. So the offenses are this disease, and I want to just go through them, Brizzle. The first of, but first let us understand. By making offenses, you create anarthas, that means material desires. What is the meaning of offense, please? Uvrita, by making an uvrita, there is a psychological turning in your mind. You cannot have contact any longer to the holy name, and you develop material desires. Now, does this mean that the holy name has lost potency to shine into your heart and transform it? No. What it means is that the cloud is there and you are under that cloud. Or let us see, there is a kralj, a king. The king can give any beggar 1,000,000 Nemechka mark. No problem for him. But if he does not think the attitude of a certain person is all right, then he may not give him 1,000,000 Nemechka mark. Now, does this mean that the king has become a beggar himself? No. It means he is free to not give it if he doesn't like. So if Krishna sees that someone who chants the holy name creates offenses or makes offenses, then that spiritual fruit which we have described, this description which we have given, will not come up in his life. Now the first offense is what? Zali,
You have learned it very nicely by heart. That is, in English, to criticize devotees who are engaged in spreading the holy name. Now, this is a very important thing which we commit this offense, unfortunately. Because we do not understand one point. See, we think only the sannyasi we cannot criticize, or the guru we cannot criticize, but everyone else is just like me. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur puts this question in his book Madhurya Kadambini. Who are these devotees offending whom we commit an offense to the holy name? Who are these devotees? Is it just the gurus or the sannyasis or the Prabhupada disciples? And he says, it is not right to think that only those devotees who are merciful, milosti, non-violent, tolerant, etc., are to be considered saints. And those who are not having such qualities are not saints. And then one can thus blaspheme them, committing an offense without committing an offense to the holy name. Now, please listen to this. Actually, anyone who worships God, even if he is a cheater, a hypocrite. What is a hypocrite? Hypokritska, huh? And unclean. When he worships God, he is a saint. And to blaspheme or criticize such a person is an offense to the holy name. Like once there was a man who came to the temple and he did something wrong. And the devotee was very heavy to him and was quarreling with him. Very, very big quarrel. And Prabhupada heard of this. And he asked the devotee to come to him. And he said, you now have to go and pay your obeisances to this man. He has come to the temple to worship God. You cannot criticize him because of small things. It's very important this. Krishna himself, if you are not convinced and you want to hear more, Krishna himself says, Abhichet sudara charo bhajate mang ananyabhak sadhu eva samantavya samyak yavasito hisaha. Even if one commits the most abominable activities, he is to be considered a saint when he worships me, for he is on the right path. Krishna has this milosti that if someone makes a mistake, he says, okay, as long as you worship, then it's alright. Why don't we have such milosti? Why we are immediately angry at someone if he does not behave 100% the way we thought he should do. This is not good. So, the second offense is, I will just go to think the name of Lord Shiva or Brahma is equal or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu. That means you think that there is a separate power from Vishnu or Krishna, like Shiva has a separate power, therefore he is more potent. No, the correct understanding is that everyone, even Tito, gets his power from Krishna. Krishna says, he's the ability in man and the strength in the strong. Now the third offense is to disrespect the guru. See, the guru is a very important personality in our lives of Krishna consciousness. Why? The mercy of God is sometimes difficult for us to grasp or to understand. But the spiritual master is right with us. He visits our temple sometimes. He is, we can write him a letter and get an answer, or ask him some personal question which is moving us and get an answer. Therefore, it has been said that the mercy of Krishna is like water. It's very difficult to capture water. But the mercy or the milost of the spiritual master is like solidified water. That means ice. You can easily take a block of ice. Sometimes it pains a little in the hand. But you can take it and carry it very easily. Do you follow? You can grasp, in other words, grasp the mercy of the spiritual master. Therefore, if you connect, if you commit an offense, then it's very bad. You reject the mercy. Fourth offense is to blaspheme the Vedas. I don't think we do this. Sometimes we have doubts in our mind. This happens often because we may not have a full philosophical understanding of the Vedic knowledge. Therefore, we think, "Ooh, this is really true. I mean, this is really true." Then to consider, I will go to fast through the few offenses, to consider the glories of the holy name to be imaginary, like we think when we hear the first part of the lecture, "Oh, is this really, does it really work?" And then to think the glory, then another thing is, and this is very important for preacher, to give some interpretation on the holy name. Like when you give a lecture, you might say, "Well, the holy name works in an almost unseen and mysterious way, just like a herb or mineral stones and so on and so forth." But this is material Shakti, herbs and mineral stones. Like the ruby has a certain power to concentrate the influence of a star and, you know, give it into your body. For some, it's good to wear a ruby. If you have the Lakshmi for such things. So, but the holy name is not something like this, let us say, more esoteric things. It is totally spiritual. And then the seventh is to commit sins on the strength of chanting. I think you all know about this offense, that if you think, "I'm chanting and I can do now what I want because the chanting will absorb all the grech." Grech, isn't it? Such a heavy word, actually. Grech. It will neutralize everything. So, very bad. This is an offense. You know, Christianity is not potent any longer. I will say something heavy. Because they commit this offense. They think, "Oh, Jesus has been nailed on the cross for my offenses. Dobro. Now I can just... Now I can just behave." Anyways, I don't want to say it so heavy. I can just behave like a swine. So this never works. That is the one reason why in Kali Yuga, this is this age, the religions have become impotent. Because they all think, well, I do a little religion and then I do my glupost and it will be all right. This offense, the seventh offense, that means to commit sins on the strength of chanting, is not only nama aparad, it can be seva aparad, service aparad, or, you know, like... And then the eighth offense is to think the holy name is equal to an auspicious act, like giving things in charity or planting a tree. The ninth offense is to instruct the faithless. And the tenth offense is to not have faith and maintain material attachments. What this means is that when someone chants Hare Krishna, he will see how the false ego gets attacked, and he should no longer remain in the concept of I and mine, this false egoistic principles. This is me, and this is mine, my interest. This is not good. So, I want to draw your attention to the point. Don't doubt that Krishna has put all the holy energies in his holy name. Krishna is there in his holy name. Don't think it is impossible for him. You can walk over the street, the ulitsa, and wherever you are together with the sun. If even a material object, like the sun, has the ability to wander with you, so to say, don't you think Krishna, who is the origin of the sun, can be there wherever you chant your holy name, his holy name? What do you think, Srinivas? Must be there. Krishna must be there. No, it is easy. Because we hear from scripture that Krishna has a potency to remain with you provided you are pure and free of offense. If you have the oblak, means cloud, right? The oblak of offense over you, you cannot see the name. You cannot see Krishna. You cannot see the sun. So I'm come to the end of my little presentation. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said that the name, the reason that Krishna is so easily present in his holy name, and that he comes to someone who chants his holy name, is a proof of Krishna's compassion. Because people vary in their desires and personalities, they do feel attracted to different names of the Lord, but he is so free. He also comes when you call him any name. Like, if you can even say, "My dear Lord, I don't really know who you are. I'm not so realized. But please appear." Then Krishna will give a little realization. But if you chant Hare Krishna, the personal name of Krishna, with the desire, "My dear Lord, please appear in my heart," then Krishna will come in the form of his holy name. You may not, and if you now live a more purer life, avoid, follow the rules and regulations and avoid the offenses, Krishna will drive away the oblak from your heart. More and more and more. So please make it your goal in your life to contact Krishna in the by his holy names. There are no fast rules when and where you chant. There is no... You can do that even in Albania, although the people may be a little wild there. You can do it everywhere. But the yakya, a Vedic sacrifice, you can't do anywhere. You can do it anywhere and everywhere. Now, a last point of interest. All the offenses come from one offense only, and that is inattention while chanting the holy name. So please chant more attentively, avoid the offenses, and see Niya Sarva Shaktis, Krishna's personal potency, the Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, and Icha Shakti. They are there, and you can contact them. This is one of the mysteries about the chanting. So tomorrow, we will hear something very moving. We will hear what is the right... Now we have heard about offenses. Tomorrow we will hear about humility. It's a very interesting lesson on humility. Please all come. And now there's time to ask a few questions. Thank you very much for hearing. So patiently, I know it's a little strenuous to hear, like one has to concentrate a little bit because it goes a little brittle, the subject. So thank you very much. Now comes the easy part, the question. Bladan. Speak loud that everyone hears. How do you control the mind by just chanting faster? The mind will not be able to hear any longer if you chant so brittle. It goes too brittle. What happened? Strong. Aha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Yes, it sometimes helps. I'm not really sure if I understand the question. You are also not sure if you understand it. Then, before translating, this is a rule, Srinivas, you must know what you translate. Please say again. Or did you understand the question, dear Prashanta Prabhu? Not totally, huh? So? Thoughts distracting. Yeah. Okay. Yes, I think that was his question. No. The seventh offense is to commit sins on the strength of chanting the holy name. That's something totally different. You do some grech because you think, well, then I chant and then I neutralize it. You have to speak a little louder. Well, if you are really conscious about your chanting, you will know there are certain mistakes which you do. And you will have to check up your life. That's why we read every morning the 10 offenses. Have you noticed? Every morning. So when you hear them, you can compare with your life if you are moksha or not. Now the remedy when you commit offenses, it is you just should chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, except for two things. When you commit a Vaishnava aparat, you must go to the Vaishnava and say, Milost, Milost, Milost. And if you commit sins on the strength of chanting, then you have to stop doing sins. But if you, for instance, are unattentive or you remain attached, you have to continue chanting. Or if you do not have a high opinion of the Vedic scriptures, then you have to remain chanting, and it goes away. Yes, one can become sincere. Once a person asked Srila Prabhupada, how long does it take to become Krishna conscious? And he said, you can become Krishna conscious in 1 minute or not after many lifetimes. It all depends on your eagerness, if you really want to become Krishna conscious. I think you want to become Krishna conscious, isn't it? I hope so. Yes or no? So you're now very young, piccolo. You might have to make a few, you might have to meditate a little bit just how miserable material life is. Then you might become more eager to become Krishna conscious. But you can become Krishna conscious in one lifetime. Madan Gopal. In the holy name or in God? Mm-hmm. Srinivas, you are not on your high point today. It was a long day, isn't it? Because you say holy name and then you say God, doubt in God or holy. What is it? Dear Prashant, you understood? Please say. Yes. If we think there is no God, then we also might question why are we chanting his name? Was a very good question, Madame Gopal. Yes, please.